You are listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige, where each week you're invited to join in our upbeat discussion as we look deeper into spiritually based principles that can change your life. We know that change can open doorways to new beginnings, and we are dedicated to helping you make the changes needed to improve your life. And now, here is your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige. Hello, everyone, and welcome in on this Wednesday evening. I am so glad you have joined me today. Know that you are loved and appreciated for tuning in, because I know there are a million other choices and things that you could be doing. So in this moment, I thank you for bringing your attention to this moment in this place. It's my goal, my desire to bring you week to week tools to empower, uplift, and inspire you to be the best that you can be, and to help you take control of your life, to understand that everything you are experiencing is because you are creating it. Whether you believe that or not, it is the truth. And so together we can begin to create the life that you consciously want to experience, a life hopefully filled with joy and ease and grace. And so I would invite you, I would encourage you to visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. I have all sorts of wonderful tools to help you on that journey, from guided meditations to a webinar series to all sorts of new things coming. So stay tuned with that. Also, if you haven't already downloaded my app, Awakened, I invite you to do that. It's a free download. Every week I send out wonderful affirmations, those words that inspire you and help to change the way you see and think. And also, I send out universal laws. You know, it's one thing to be here on Earth, but we have to know the rules and how it works. And so I like to share those universal laws with us so that we can truly understand how everything works. And of course, if you haven't already gotten my book, You're Not Crazy, Your Awakening, Journey to Discovering Your Soul Purpose, Joy, and Abundant Life, I also would invite you to do that. It's available right now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And that really takes you step by step through the awakening process. Well, definitely my process, as it was, I was awake during it and continue to move through different stages. And so I would invite you to get that. Definitely will shed some light on this whole awakening process. My guest today is Jill Madsen, and she is an author, a musician, and a composer who seeks to further the application of sound in alternative healing modalities. You know, we've had wonderful remote scalar energy healing with Tom Palladino, and that's just amazing work. If you haven't tried that, you really should. But Jill has spent the past 20 years researching vibratory sound energy for healing and also a wide array of other remarkable uses. She will be sharing these uses with us today. She is committed to the dissemination of techniques enhancing spiritual, mental, and psychic growth through vibratory energy, and hopes to encourage communication and the universal sharing of new information on sound healing around the world. I know when I put this up on Facebook, I actually received all sorts of questions as far as the different applications of music. And so this is going to be a wonderful conversation today. Jill, I know you're there, so thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited about everything we're going to share tonight.
Wonderful. So tell us, first of all, a little bit about your background, who you are, how you got here, and what has your spiritual journey looked like?
Okay. I went on a spiritual quest about 20-some years ago, maybe 25. And I originally had been a very sincere conservative Christian. And I got this great idea that I was going to rewrite the Old Testament as a biography, thinking that that if you looked at religion from God's point of view, it looked different than from human. For example, God could say, hey, man, I got, food for you to all eat three times over. Why don't you share? But yet we in here as a human could say, how could God let a child starve? So it just looked different. So anyway, I'm very sincere, very conservative, and I start this quest. I rewrite the Old Testament. And as I do, I just started feeling like I had PMS or something. You know, it's like I believed that the Bible was the literal word of God. And, when I got to things like Genesis, where it's, God liked one of Adam's sons' gift and not the other. And then when one killed the brother, they threw him out into the multitude. Well, what multitude? And I couldn't imagine, for example, having two children and liking the gift of one and not the other. Anyway, and you go on through the Old Testament, it gets a whole lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to an epiphany, which was, I'm only going for a God that's nothing but the best love I can imagine, thinking that my perception of God is going to have everything to do with who I am. Like, if I have a God that's mean and nasty and beats people and gets them back, I mean, what kind of person am I going to be if not the same? So, and I dropped all my dogma, and I was like psychic on a dime, all kinds of gifts. And so anyway, I started this spiritual quest of then looking for any concepts or ideas of God that were just bigger and better or more loving. And as I did that, I spent a year on this, writing the Old Testament over, mm-hmm. and I was just having a hard time thinking, oh my gosh, I spent on a whole year, and, trying to change my mind. Why didn't I skip the whole year writing and just change my mind in the first place?
Because it was your process, and that's okay.
I know, but it was like, dang, I'm dumb. So anyway, I went to different versions, like the Serpentine and the Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. And then I got into the Babylonian, the Sumerian, and then into Ephesia and China and all these different concepts of God. And as I went from society to society, they all used sound and music to uplift their disciples. And I've been a musician since 5. And it would just like make my hair stand on end.
Wow.
And I started like a 25-year quest of going through the world, looking at different religions, different gods, different ideas of how to expand your mind and heart, and how people did it with music. And one of the things I discovered was that there's many ways to Rome, many ways to enlighten, but sound being perhaps the most powerful, not better, most powerful, because sound can be used in a very negative way. And in ancient cultures, they perceived that it was the misuse of sound that had a lot to do with civilizations falling. So they hid the secrets on how to raise your body, mind, soul with sound. Not that they didn't want people to raise a body, mind, soul, but they didn't want to use it to enslave and for nasty purposes. Case in point, Hitler was into this kind of information. Mm. And so it's hard to find. But, I spent 25 years, and I went in almost every society, and each little group would maybe give you a teaser, this little tidbit, how to change your liver or your spiritual life or grow a garden, something practical with sound and music. And I just started saving all the tidbits. And I got it now.
Wow. That's just amazing. It really is. And, I think the thing is, sound is, energy, right? Mm-hmm. And frequency and harmonics and everything. Creation is energy. Mm-hmm. We are energy. Everything is energy. And so doesn't that make sense that it could ripple and move energy?
Absolutely. And we ingest sounds. And this is the secret of all the ancients. And how they knew this, I don't know. But we look at the world, let's say through chemistry or physics or biology, they looked at it through sound. Not that sound was everything, but it was like a little peephole into the rest of the world. They could observe how waves interacted by listening to sound. And then they applied what they learned to everything else because they believed everything else was nothing but energy and waves. And through resonance, which is a scientific phenomenon, like if I have two violins, A string on one will sound. I play the A string on one, the A string on the other will sound. It's like there's these little invisible little gerbil tunnels and energy transfers on the same pitch. And octaves, which is simply same pitch, higher or lower. And so with that in mind, they would like study sound to how to learn how to change their emotions, their body, their thinking, their health, etc.
Wow. So people, of course, say you are what you eat. Mm-hmm. But what you say, Jill, is you are what you listen to. Do you want to explain that to us?
Yes. Think of it this way. All waves in close proximity, they interact, they change one another, you absorb sound. In just little bits. That's why we don't notice it. And also you might, you know, absorb a sound that takes you up, one that takes you down, and they kind of cancel each other out. Kind of like if you have monkey mind, you never know the power of meditation because you've never controlled it. Same thing with sound. And so you ingest sound, and the thing is, you ingest it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when you're sleeping, you ingest sound in your skin and your bones, not just through your ears. So it's kind of like this. If you think of running water on a rock, ha, 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 of course the water does not change the rock. But if you look at the Grand Canyon, yes, it does. But it just little bit by little bit. But over time, it makes all the difference in the world. And that's what sound is. And I've spent my life to bringing back ancient practices and using sound just like they did for just about almost everything you can imagine. It's a rich source of energy, and it's free. Gosh, how nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's free. Imagine that. Pretty amazing. How often do you have to listen to certain music or sounds to ingest it?
Quite a bit. You can take your cue from the ancient Hindu masters that would give the devotees, you know, a mantra. And let's say, I'm just making this up, but let's say somebody was tending to be depressed. They might receive a mantra that might energize them. And each time they say it, they would take in, let's say, a drop of joy. But they're a bucket, and they need to fill up the bucket. So you would say it many, many times, many, many, maybe thousands. And so with my music, I've got all kinds of great healing codes and things in it. And I just suggest that people put it in the background or loop it and sleep with it. Because you do ingest it. And, you know, you can be ingesting it, you know, while you're doing the dishes or driving the car.
Wow. Yeah, okay, so let's get into, there's solfeggio tones. What other types of, because these are ancient tones, so what other types of tones and frequencies have you found?
Okay, for my first CD, Paint Your Soul, I put in the Fibonacci pattern. Ancient people saw, they would call it science, but we would not. They kind of like would look at the world objectively, physically, and see shapes, and they were great mathematicians. So they would put numbers behind them, and they saw that Mother Earth, nature, she's not very creative in many ways. She's always using this Fibonacci pattern in everything over and over and over. It's a pattern of numbers. They would use it as cycles per second. So they all music was always in this spiral shape. It was always emulating the song of Earth. And we stopped listening to this 300 years ago. So they would tune with Earth for like strength, grounding, connection. And then they would, and I did that in my Paint Your Soul, and plus the solfeggio tones. And then in my Stardust ones, I did the other half of their equation, was that they would tune to the subtle sounds of the planets. Astrology is nothing but these subtle little tones that come in from planets moving. I know you used to be able to buy them off of Motorola for like 10 bucks a day. Sometimes they're below your hearing range, and they pick them up in their satellites and tell you what frequencies came in the day. And physicists like Robert Becker suggest that these low-level geomagnetic things that you can barely hear, they're very influential on our consciousness. And so my second CD, Stardust, I have the sounds of the planets in their orbits, and any moving ball is going to make a pitch. You can figure it out with physics. And also I put in the elements, like carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. So, you know the big saying, you know, I think it was Joni Mitchell said in her song, we're stardust. That's because we're made out of the same elements as stars. And so I did kind of like a tune-up on the elemental level, star level. And that's the ancient concept of raising your consciousness to harmonize with heaven and earth.
That's amazing and beautiful. So, okay, so you have those two CDs that do that. What about different frequencies for healing? Because if we know everything is energy, then everything has an assigned frequency to it.
Yes.
So how do we then, say for an example, you can't sleep. Is there a frequency for not sleeping? How would you address, or do you address particular things?
Yes. I have a book called Secret Sounds, Ultimate Healing. It covers the work of Sherry Edwards and bioacoustics and more. Sherry has hearing that's really incredible. She can hear, like, let's say, a neurotransmitter or something, a volume level that's way too low for us to hear. She can hear if you have a disease. And then she was able to, through her lifetime, figuring out tones that would cancel out diseases. That's very similar to the work of Royal Rife. He had very high-powered microscopes in the 40s. He's a medical doctor. And he would look at live cancer breathing in and out like a jellyfish glob. Mm-hmm. He'd measure how it breathes in and out. And then with physics, you can figure out what is the frequency. So let's say that little cancer cell's 10 cycles per second. He would have his patients listen to 1 over 10 cycles per second. They cancel each other out.
Wow.
Voila, no cancer. And so that's part of the equation. And what Sherry did was she knew she had extraordinary hearing, but she used software developed by a man called Joseph Fourier in the 50s, I think. And it's a little piece of software that she offers for free at nanovoice.org, nanovoice.org. And it takes your voice and it breaks it down into component pitches. You know, because your liver operates at a different frequency than your heart, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's different. We're all little symphonies. We're just too soft to hear with our outer ears. And what it does is it breaks everything down, and you can look at, she gives this little free software, and you can look at your, like for me, I have a lot of G sharp and a lot of G, and I'm almost always empty on D. These are, you know, notes of musical notes. And if I was really healthy, if I was just perfect, ready to enlighten right now, I'd be pretty average on all of them. And I'm not. So with her science, I mean, the freeware that she offers at NanoVoice gives you kind of a ballpark way of figuring out frequency-wise exactly what you're missing. And if you take her courses, and it's, yeah, I would read, before you do that, I'd read my book to learn about it. I mean, you can go in and see exactly what's going on. Like, you've got a certain disease because you're not absorbing vitamin A. And then you can absorb vitamin A through sound. So it can be very specific. Now, that's a little bit more costly if you take the class or get a practitioner, or you can do the general approach, which would be, you know, use the freeware. But what I've done in my CDs is I've made them so that they pretty much help everybody. I haven't delineated out, you know, here's one for a stubbed toe. I might do it to myself, but not in the CD. So each one of mine is like a global thing, like I have the Healing Flower Symphonies where I'm taking out negative emotions and everybody's got them. So it's good for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah, the basics, connecting into source, clearing out negative energy, raising your vibration, your frequency, all of
right.
those things we all need. So
right. And that's what's in my CDs. So they're good for all.
Perfect. So now why do you believe that sound healing is basically what you would use for the spiritual fast track?
First of all, it's what ancient masters used for the spiritual fast track. And as I said earlier, it was most hidden because it's the most powerful. And yes, it's the most powerful for good, but it can also be used to kill. I think it was right after World War II, there was a man named Gavrand in France hired to come up with weapons. And anyway, in the plant, everybody got sick. So they're looking for fumes or, you know, things that we would think of make you sick. And what they discovered was that it was a radiator that was loose and it was rattling and hissing. And the hiss made them all sick. And, you know, of course, they're on a contract to come up with a weapon. And they one of the things they did, for example, was to develop, I think they created a 6-foot police whistle. And when they let it off, the guy who was the technician immediately died. And upon autopsy, his organs jellied. So sound is a powerful force, and they hid this powerful energy. It's just stronger. It's not better than. It's strong. But when you use it for good, it's strong. And they would say that the fast way, for example, to change your personality is not by struggling to overcome your will because you get tired and then, you know, it's 2 steps forward and 1 step back.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with sound, you can tune into an emotion and keep repeating it. And it's kind of like, as long as you're listening to it, hey, that's where your emotions are going. It's like a subconscious thing. You just do it, and then you keep doing it until you have a habit.
So you can use sound to reprogram your subconscious.
Absolutely.
Okay. So if you could give the audience one sound healing technique to improve their everyday life, what would it be?
Okay. This one, it's going to sound awful cheap and easy, and it's so powerful. I just think people, you know, if you pay thousands of dollars for something, it's valuable. So please don't underestimate this because it's so easy. Everything in your body has a certain frequency. Everything you take, like every vitamin, like in, for example, my Deep Way Beauty CD, I have vitamins or sounds associated with vitamins. But everything has vitamins. So if you need, I'm making this up now, let's say mm-hmm. vitamin A, mm-hmm. and I'm making this up, let's say you need vitamin A is 10 cycles per second, and you need that for your body, for health, for your digestion or something like that, you can listen to 10 cycles per second, and you will absorb it. And one of the things I learned by just playing around with Sherry Edwards' NanoVoice software was that I could do this ancient technique called toning, and I'll explain it in just a minute. But while I did, I offered my body like a smorgasbord of sounds. My body selectively picked out the ones I needed. And I just discovered that by doing, you know, these different voice prints and analyzing my voice over and over and over again. And here's the technique. Well, first of all, I have to almost apologize. I sound a little bit like a cat. It's kind of like, ooh, like a siren.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you don't have to have a good voice. Just go comfortable from low to high. Would be good to do it for maybe, if you're not sick, maybe 15 minutes. And what you're doing is you're vibrating your body at every frequency there is. And your body will pick out what it needs.
Okay, Sorry. We're going to try this.
Very powerful. Now it sounds, so it would be good if you, ooh, if you did it a couple times a day.
Ooh.
And I would say 15 minutes.
Was that it?
Yes. And you will find when you do that, sometimes you have holes. Like you go, ooh, ooh,
mm-hmm.
a hole. If you can't sound it, you're missing that in your body.
Beautiful.
And that's what you need.
Wow.
You know, no course, no class, so easy.
Super easy. Okay, so back to my previous question on reprogramming the subconscious. How would you do that with sound? Say, for an example, we've been using the idea of being negative. So you're programmed, you're just this negative Nancy. How would you use sound to reprogram yourself?
Okay, I have two answers. Here's the first. I created two CDs for that very purpose. Looking to the ancient Greeks who were approaching healing from the emotional perspective. Like if you could cure your worrying, you cure your ulcer, kind of an idea. So they were always using sound, their scales were all about modifying different personality traits, balancing them, harmonizing them, like enlivening a depressed person or soothing someone who's very stressed. So they had these very intricate scales or, you know, notes they included in the music to balance these different personal qualities. They also had cathartic music. And the idea with cathartic music is, let's say, I worry. That's very negative. And it happens to be the same frequency, let's say, as the lining of my tummy. And as before earlier, I talked about resonance. That's science where energy transfers through the same frequency. So if the frequency of worry and the frequency of the inside of my tummy are the same, whenever I keep thinking and feeling that ugly crap, it's going to transfer right into my tummy. And it gets stuck there under the muscles and tissues. So what they did for catharsis, it's kind of like they would play something that would be the same frequency. They would try to like echolocate it, the sound, and just vibrate it, kind of like it, shake it loose. And then if the person acknowledges or feels it, then you can release it. If you don't acknowledge or deal with your pain, you store it. To heal it, you got to feel it. So in these healing flower symphonies, I took like impatience. I have the flower impatience, and it's similar to one of the flower remedies in which, you know, you take a flower remedy. In fact, it's got the frequency of the flower remedy, so it's akin to taking the flower remedy. Plus, the music starts out very impatient, making you feel that, you know, we've all felt it, that achy feeling. So it's rattling, it's loosening it, and then it goes right into patience, and it's sunk with the frequency of patience. And I know when I listen to these, it's like it doesn't clear, and then all of a sudden it like pops out. And you feel it on the way out. That's why you know it works. You just can release negativity. And the thing is, and then you build the positive motion as well. So you're building the patience. It's got the frequency. It's music sounds patient. And it's just like any other habit. They're not rocket scientists. You don't even have to use your will. It's just a matter of repeats.
It's just a matter of listening to that music.
Yeah.
No, just okay. Repeat. Then my next question is, can we listen to regular music for healing, or do we have to listen to special music that's been designed with particular tones in it? Or does regular music on the radio have this?
First of all, let me say this. Remember I talked earlier about this Nano Voice, this free program. Mm-hmm. Where everybody could look at all the frequencies inside their body. And so I might be primarily a G-sharp, and you're primarily a D, okay, just for an example. We're all different. And we're all healthiest when we got a little bit of everything. It's like when we shine like a rainbow, when we have every note of the musical scale. And so my problem is I tend to have too much G and not enough D. So if I'm playing, if there's something playing on the radio, and let's say it's, for me, it's in the key of D. Chances are I'm going to like that song. Now I'll give you a pile of crap to say because it's this or that or da-da-da. Bottom line is I believe that our body releases endorphins when we hear what it needs. And the reason why I say that is that Let's say we're going to play Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven. You play me a version in G, I won't like it. You play me a version in D, and I'll love it. And consciously, I'll give you a pile of crap, but I don't think consciously I know what's going on. It's like when you really like music, in some level it's good for you. Even if it's harsh, sad music, perhaps it's cathartic. You know, you're mm-hmm. rattling your old crap to get it out. So if there's a song you really love, if it really, really resonates with you, I would listen to it. And listen to it until you're sick of it. And then when you're sick of it, you've had its dose. It's done its work. And now you're on to something new. But and then I would also say this, that different types of music provides different impacts. You know, some of it might be cathartic, and if you're not ready to release your crap, it would increase your negativity. You can do that with music on the radio, get worse. Or if you listen to stuff you don't like, that would be bad, because your body's saying it's not good for you. But I think that, you know, we all have different needs. You know, a timid man like might benefit from courageous music, whereas somebody who's doesn't have enough brains to protect himself certainly isn't going to benefit from that same music.
Well, you know, and that's so true, because every now and then when I turn the radio on, there are some songs that I'm just so drawn to, and all of a sudden I'm finding myself dancing and singing, and I'm feeling lighter and joyful. And then I'll listen, and there'll be a song, and I'm like, just don't feel it, and I'll turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you
vibrate, I'm vibrating to what I need, and what I don't vibrate or resonate with, I turn off. And so mm-hmm. we subconsciously feel and know that.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to hold that thought. I want to take a short little pause. And when we come back, we're going to continue with understanding how music heals and all sorts of power of affirmations and how we bring in music and frequency into the affirmations. That'll be wonderful. So mm-hmm. one moment, I'll be right back.
Blessings, love, abundance, joy, bliss, harmony, wonderment, artistry, magic.
We Affirmations for Living is about affirming a positive way of living because it's your birthright to live with passion and purpose and to prosper. You will learn how to connect your higher conscious mind as Reverend Dr. Advige takes you on an inner journey of self-discovery and higher awareness while utilizing a process that releases the negative emotions that have been keeping you bound to a life that is not in alignment with who you truly are as a spiritual being. Imagine that right now in this very moment, you can learn to create limitless opportunities. What do you want? Health, wealth, happiness, to find your soul purpose? We have the tools that will support the manifestation of your dreams and desires. From our affirmations and guided meditations to our webinars and transformational spiritual life coaching, the choice is yours. To learn more, visit us at affirmationsforliving.net. And don't forget to get the smartphone app Awakened today. It's free. Change your thinking. Change your life.
Hello, everyone, and we are back with Jill Madsen. Thank you for sticking with us. And so we were discussing, wow, how regular music on the radio can impact us. So let me ask you, so you're saying the reason that it impacts us in a negative way is because that's a frequency that we don't need?
That's one way it could impact you in a negative way. If it's negative, As I looked at music going over thousands of years, one thing about it is it always changed. So, like, let's say the Chinese used music that was pretty heavily centered around the note F. Then the next civilization, the Hindus, were centering around C. And then they would use different rhythm patterns and so forth. So it's kind of like it's always changing. And each type of music, I believe, brought gifts. And I believe, and I have a whole book coming out on this, is that as we went through time, music enabled us to invest more in duality, to become more separated, more individual. You know, we're no longer tribes, we're ourselves. And I think music had a large part to do with that. And so when you look at the new music, let's say rap or, you know, heavy metal, mm-hmm. it's unpleasant to listen to for some, for us older people. And it takes us a little further away from God. It has a little bit more negative energy in it. My understanding with negative energy is sometimes it can be used as a cathartic force, like to break up hard, ugly emotional bodies or to sing your pain so you can release it. However, if you're not ready to get better, it can make you more negative. So it's the same kind of thing. You can have music that's good for you and not good for me based on our individual needs. And then you have like classes of music that do different purposes, different things, like it always has throughout the centuries. But I would say, like, you know, classical music has a very different purpose than rap.
So there's probably, in your opinion, music out there being created to intentionally lower your vibration, understanding that we're energy and that we're creators of our experience. And so if our vibration is low, what are we sticking to and creating?
Right, right. I do believe it was Mick Jagger who talked about some of his songs and, you know, a quote was, "Hey, we always have a riot when we play that song," meaning a fight. And so they were well aware that certain songs could and get people riled up negatively. I read a lot of stuff from Theosophy, which is a mystery school in the 1800s with Alice Bailey and Helena Blavatsky. And they talked about some of Schoenberg, and I'm sure people don't know who that is, but he's a classical composer that wrote stuff like really hard to listen to, really dissonant stuff. And they were saying that horrible ucky music cracked the emotional bodies of people who were just inflexible and wouldn't balance, and that sometimes negative music, think of it as like a record ball, you know, it comes in and crashes things, and perhaps if it breaks things up, maybe then you can learn to love again or something. So it wasn't always bad, but it could be very bad.
Very interesting. So what is the relationship between the harmonics, or, you know, the keys, the different keys, why there are 144 keys on a piano, and how does this relate to energy, frequency, vibration, and us? Because there's a relationship in there.
Okay, well, on the piano, it's an equal temperament scale. And when I first talked about this gorgeous harmony of Mother Earth, this her song, if you will, if you were to sing the shapes that you saw, convert the numbers that you see in the geometry of things you saw to cycles per second or music, she always does a spiral. And the equal temperament scale on our piano, it kind of modifies things. So if you were to graph it, it would be more like a circle. Very efficient and serves a lot of good purposes, but it does not have the ancient sacred geometry. I don't know. What else are you looking for? Can you help me here?
No, I was just curious as to do the keys, the notes, that relates to this energy then? And it's a hard question, but I'm just trying to figure out what's the relationship between, okay, I'm playing do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, that energy of that, because it's how we create music. There's a science to why there are so the number of keys related to the number of octaves related to the frequencies that move us. It's all in some sort of, well, I guess it is the Fibonacci sequence. Is that what it is that's moving?
Well, it's kind of a modified. It's all modified because, you see, If you played the sacred geometry on our pianos, then an F sharp, let's say in the key of D, is a different frequency than the F sharp in the key of G, which means that if you're using sacred geometry as a foundation for your music, which was always done in ancient times, then you need a piano, a different piano, for every single key you play. In some instruments, like a flute or a trombone, you would need a different, not a trombone, a trumpet, you would need a different instrument for every key that you play. So in the equal temperament system, they take the sacred geometry, think of it as a spiral, and then you ride the spiral or the escalator up to God, mm-hmm. and they make it a circle, and you don't go up to God, you just kind of go around in a circle. Eastern masters from India that still use ancient music, they refer to the equal temperament scale as like oral caffeine. It's a sound that the Western world has been using. It makes you very industrious. And look at the United States' accomplishments versus, let's say, India 50 years ago. And they were very meditative, but, they had a lot of spiritual things that are, with their gurus and stuff that were very advanced. But their people were poor and they were starving. And at least with our industrialism, we were making a nick, nicking away at that. Mm-hmm. And then if you notice, recently, let's say the last 25 years in India, they're now listening to the equal temperament scale because they're listening to Western music. And look at their industry rising. So there's, it's not just the pitches. Like our particular scale, you only have 12 half notes in the octave when there's an infinite number of pitches in there. So we're just taking 12 select that we've chosen for many reasons. But with the equal temperament, it's kind of, well, the square root of two is the mathematics between each note on your piano. And I think we've gotten used to it, and it now sounds very beautiful to us, or can. But each scale has a different impact. So, like, the ancient music did not use the equal temperament scale. And even when people are putting together music, it's always about the numbers underneath and the sacred geometry or the shapes found in nature. There's always patterns in the math. I like to think of it like a matrix, you know, like if you know, or maybe like a Rubik's cube, and each little square on the Rubik's cube was a different pitch. You know, each different type of music, like Hindu versus, you know, Western world, it has a different pattern. And when you listen to it, it affects your brain waves, can't not. Mm-hmm. It affects your emotions, can't not. And it affects your physicality.
So then how do you know what music is uniquely healing to you?
I would go with this, keep it simple. What do you like? And be open and be creative. Try different types. Because I also think when you open up, usually when you hear a new type of music that you haven't heard before, it's hard to get used to. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, you know, I don't know, learning to drink coffee or something. The first couple cups might be, but each time you open up to a new music type of music, it's kind of like you're opening up to a new matrix of feelings and thoughts. And as you evolve, I believe that you evolve like in stages. You know, you go from stage A to B, C, D, E, F, G. So I would follow your heart. What moves you?
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to play a clip of one of your songs. Tell us what we're going to be listening to and what it is. How does it benefit us?
Okay. In my CDs, I channel music, so I guess cosmic plagiarism, I don't know. Anyway, I feel very inspired, and so much so that I feel like I'm given music. And it's very pretty music, and I put the ancient tonal patterns and matrices, I put them in tuning forks, so I could use a piano for one. And also the work of physicist Robert Becker says that this very small, tiny frequencies, particularly like geomagnetic, little tiny ones, impact our consciousness, and they're very powerful. So I put the Fibonacci tones and the spirals in this ancient solfeggio scale that you find disciples using in ancient Hebrew, Egypt, and in the Middle Ages. It was, again, it's a mathematical pattern that they converted to tones, and they would use it to raise your spiritual connections to God. They take kind of like, think of it, it's a soundtrack that's like an elevator that just slowly takes you up. And
sounds
that's
good.
What I put in this song called My Soul.
Okay, I think we are ready to play it, so let's see what happens. Alrighty, so that was lovely. So we know exactly what that sounds like and how it makes us feel. Tell us, well, you know, let's give out the name of the tracks again, the name of your CD and how they can find it before we go on, because they're feeling it.
Okay. Well, there's a half hour of free sound healing music, and it comes with a little newsletter every 2 weeks. It's just like an email one-pager on how to heal your world of sounds. Anyway, the half hour free music includes a song with Fibonacci and solfeggio tones, one with the star tones and the heavenly elements, and one of the flowers where you're clearing negative energy and building positive. And it's at chillswingsoflight.com. Chillswingsoflight.com.
Lovely. Okay. So earlier I had talked about affirmations. I want to know, how can you use sound to power up your affirmations?
Okay. First of all, I would say that you want to be able to word your affirmation in a way that it rings true. Let me give you an example. I grew up and we were very poor, and I think I had for a long time, a poor consciousness or something. And it's like, if I were to say something like, I want to get rich, but somehow I would feel guilty. And I could say it, but it would be accompanied with a feeling of unease, however subtle. So it's almost like when I gave an affirmation that I didn't quite feel comfortable with on a very soft level, it's like you're weakening your affirmation. It's like giving mixed messages. Mm-hmm. So what you can do, because like, let's say I say I want to get rid of that poverty consciousness, but I haven't done it yet. So then I'll rework it, and I'll say, okay, I'm going to heal the world with my music. Now, that, let me tell you, I feel real good about that. And I don't have to, like, intermingle with this other issue that makes me feel uncomfortable because I haven't cleared my crap yet. And so if it feels right, you want to kind of, I think, reword it till it, like, rings true. And so that you can say it, it's like your voice deepens, you feel stronger, and you can really get behind it. So get with a feeling, thought that you find to be empowering. And then say it over and over and over again. Like,
I am now moving into prosperity consciousness.
Absolutely. I am in prosperity. Yeah. Say, because each repeat is like putting yourself a drop in it. And then you can amplify that by feeling affluent, thinking affluent. They're all different octaves. They're all frequencies. They're all adding to the mix. And you're just like making a potion. You just want it very powerful. And you have to drink a lot of it till you're full of it.
So it's just the sound then of you saying it out loud that is adding the power to it.
Yes, and make sure you feel right about it. You might have to reword it. Like, you might find you can reword it 3 or 4 different ways, but when you speak them all, one of them feels a little bit better, or your voice deepens in pitch and feels stronger. Mm. So play around with the wording, too, because, you see, your subconscious mind might have not cleared things, and so you can kind of trip on some wording that you've got a blockage in, and you want to find a path in your energy within your beings unobstructed.
Exactly.
And you can notice that by
your
the sound.
Core belief, if it's in contrast to your core belief, it's not going to happen. And so that core belief is what's that seeding in your subconscious that's causing you to resonate with it or not.
Yes. Thank
Very
you.
Interesting. Okay. You're welcome. So now, how can sound music change your brain waves? And how does it change your thinking patterns?
Okay. All righty. There's been many studies that can prove that your brain will entrain to certain frequencies. And it's the same thing. Waves in close proximity interact. The ancient Tibetans had this really cool technique. They had these little, like, I don't know, they looked like symbols, but maybe they're the size of an orange, called tingshaws. And they'd put them in different ears of a disciple. and they would not be the same pitch. So let's say I'm doing 10 cycles per second in one year and 20 cycles per second in the other year. If they were close enough so that only the left ear could only hear the left ear sounds and only the right ear could only hear the right ear sounds, then you would not hear either 10 cycles per second or 20 cycles per second. You'd hear 15, which is almost boring. But besides that, in order to hear that 15, your right brain and your left brain had to open up and do the math. You were whole-brained during that time period that you were listening to those tones close to your ears. And today, a lot of companies use binaural beats. I know I have a sound and light machine that does it on my website, Monroe Institute. There's quite a few of them. And they're copying this old technique and use headphones, and they use usually low tones, and they'll get you into this whole brain frequency, which increases your IQ, gives you more dexterity between right and left brain. And then whatever, like if that was 15 cycles, whatever frequency your brain is coming up with, in minutes, your brain wave will copy it. Can't not. So you can come up with frequency patterns. Like I know the little machine I have, it has energized patterns. It takes your brain wave to energize. It can take you down to theta brain waves, where your body rebuilds and you perform psychic skills. It can take you to the optimum frequencies where people learn new ideas. I mean, there's frequencies. They can chart your frequencies and see when you're able to quit smoking. It's a certain cycle per second. And you can emulate that kind of stuff on these machines or these CDs.
That's fascinating. Very now, powerful. Is that called brain entrainment?
That's one of the names for it, yes.
Okay. Kind of familiar with that. So then how can music release deep emotional pain or build virtues? Can it do all of that through music?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, let's say you're a timid person and you're listening to really bold, powerful music. It's like each time you listen, you take in a drop. Now, a timid person listening to bold music isn't going to be bold after one listen, but they'll have one more drop. And the thing is that over time, it's all a matter of repeats. If you keep ingesting those sounds, then you start to fill up on that emotion. Another way to do it is to get this nanovoice.org. And again, I have this book, Secret Sounds, which I'd advise to explain how to do all this. Mm-hmm. So you get your nanovoice on that free software program, and you figure out, okay, for example, I have a lot of G, but if I have a lot of G, that's going to have octave or a resonant relation with certain emotions. It's going to give me certain personality qualities. Let's say I want some personality qualities that are the same frequency as D. All I have to do is hum it a lot. And I'm going to start to have those emotions because a certain emotion, it's a habit. It's a matter of repeats. Mm-hmm. It's what you're vibrating at. If you want to change your vibrations, sing them. And even let's say you don't have piano, just get online, get on Google, put on piano, virtual piano. They'll show you piano. They'll name the keys. So you can get your tones for free. One way of doing it. I'd say the easiest way is to get my flower symphonies, and they're beautiful to listen to. You, when you clear stuff, you will feel it for a second. You may not like the music or whomever that walked by the second you're, you know, clearing it, but it's just brief, and they're very powerful. And I have 12 emotions in the set aimed at clearing your emotional body and building virtues.
Wow, that's just amazing to me. So then, we know that it can work with virtues, we can release negative energies, we can reprogram ourselves. What about our physical body? Can it actually affect our physical body?
Absolutely. In the case I talked earlier about Dr. Royal Rife, where he was canceling out cancer with sound. So you can get online, look at Rife frequency machines, and that's what they are. They're like these machines that have the frequencies, the antidotes, if you will, the sound counterpart to get rid of pretty much any disease you can think of, Sherry Edwards takes it to the next level by looking at, let's say you're having problems because you're not absorbing enough vitamin A. You can look at the Krebs cycle of digestion and look at all the elements. Just get online. It's a chemical formula. It's pretty proven. This is what happens when you digest food. And then you can look at your frequencies in your voice and in your body, and you can see exactly what frequencies you're missing to complete the formula for digestion, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
So you can get very specific and say, I need this little sound. Maybe it's the sound of another vitamin in order to absorb. I mean, you can take a vitamin, but you don't always absorb it. But you can look at the frequencies of what in your body and see very specifically what's wrong. Here's something that's interesting. Otoacoustic emissions are these little tiny frequencies that come out of your ears, and they're now used in most major hospitals for comatose people and babies. So you can, they're below our hearing volume, but out of our ears come teensy little frequencies. And I always think of them like a radio tower. And so I think what they're doing is that they're broadcasting to the rest of your body, you know, what frequencies you need for healing. Mm-hmm. It's just another way of communicating in the body, done through frequencies.
Amazing. So now, can you change your voice for health, wealth, relationships, and other good things?
Oh, yes. In my Secret Sounds book, the back part is ancient techniques from mystery schools across the globe on how to change your voice to change you without the science. Just simple things, like, let me give you an example. The way the Chinese did it was that they took energy and they likened it to the elements. And it was just a matter of giving name to different types of feelings. So a watery voice, a fiery voice, a metal voice, a wood voice. So they would take sounds, forget the content of your words and its meaning, the sound out of the voice. So like, let's say you're a fire. I would speak to you in a very calming, watery voice. And they didn't really matter or care that much about the content of what I was saying. It was these soothing sounds, this watery sounds that put out the fire. Mm. And so they would use, like in their feng shui, they have these correspondences of which elements, you know, overpower or feed or cancel out another. And so then if they were approaching a person, they would just instantly analyze their voice. They would respond in a voice that would balance the other person's energies, knowing that ways in close proximity combine. So just the sounds of their voice, the feeling.
And how does that affect wealth and your and relation? Well, I see relationships. How would you change your wealth by changing your voice?
There, if the ancient masters like Hazra Inayat Khan, he's a Sufi master, he used to say that he never needed to know how much money a person had. He just needed to listen to their voice. So if you really want to change your voice for wealth, I would listen to the voice of Warren Buffett, you know, Bill Gates. And there's a certain sense of confidence, of not trying to get it, of already having it. And you can actually, if you're really sensitive, you can feel that confidence in their voice. Think of it this way. Let's say I'm afraid of being attacked, and I talk like this. My voice is actually a beacon for someone to come up who likes to abuse people.
Yes.
In contrast,
you're vibrating
if I
it.
Talk like this, you know, those mm-hmm. people that might want to come and take advantage of someone are repelled. Same thing with the wealth. If you listen to their voice, they have it. and they have that confidence and knowing in their voice, it sounds different.
Wow. So very interesting. Before we close up, I want to do the exercise again that we did earlier. That was just too cool.
Okay, sure. Do you want to try it?
I have to hear it again from you, and then I'll do it.
Okay. Well, again, apologize. It sounds like a cat. I always think I need a bowl, a saucer of milk when I do this. Okay, here we go. Just like a fire siren. And did you notice going down, you skipped some notes? It was very subtle. Did you hear it?
It was very subtle, but yes, I did.
Those are notes you're missing. If you keep doing that for 15 minutes, you're going to start to be able to sound those notes because your body will, you see, if you don't have the frequency inside you, you can't make it with your voice because you need resonance within your instrument of your body. So if you're totally out of a little tiny pitch, you're not going to be able to make it with your mouth. You know, deaf people who can't hear can't speak. It's like because if they can't hear it, they can't speak it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can't hear that little thing, you've got a hole there. But if you keep doing that toning exercise, let's say a good session's 15 minutes, that will smooth out, and you'll be healing yourself.
Fascinating. Wow. Okay, let's give out your website one last time. Jill's Wings of Light. So
yes,
that's JILLSWINGSOFLIGHT. JillsWingsOfLight.com. I want to thank you, Jill. Do you have any final words of wisdom you'd like to leave with the audience today?
Let the music play you.
Mm.
You know, listen to what you enjoy and then, like, you know, jump into it. Be submersed. Let it heal you. Your attitude and openness can amplify its impact. Think of it real quick this way. You know, you're back in grade school. You can listen to the cot gossip or the teacher. You have the ability to amplify a sound or deaden it. Everybody does. So if you just open up, open your heart, open your mind, when you hear something you like, it'll be a very beautiful and strong blessing.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been lovely. Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. There you have it, everyone. That was amazing. And that exercise, I'm going to start using that exercise every day. Affirmations for Living, as you know, is all about affirming a better way of living. Here you have it. It's about discovering your true, authentic self. And I am here to assist you on your journey. So please tell your friends about Affirmations for Living and visit my site, affirmationsforliving.net. Friend me on Facebook. I love reading your suggestions, so if you have an idea for a show, please let me know. I would love to hear from you. Of course, download my app, Awakened, AWAKENED. It's free, and stay connected. Until next time, love, peace, and happiness. Take care. You've been listening to Affirmations for Living with Edwige. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit my Facebook page, download my app, Awakened, and visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And remember, be the change that you want to see. Until next time, this is Reverend Dr. Edwige. Namaste.